Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
To become podcasting Virginia football.
No, but
he's contacted me. He's asked me.
Really? I thought he was waiting until after the bowl game, but
No.
He's brought everybody else from BYU, so
only
like
if they're LDS, which is bizarre.
That's true. Which I am, so I'm still waiting for him to call me, but that is funny. You think Southern Virginia University's ticked off right now that like they have a rival Mormon school in their same state? Like their whole staff is Mormon. Like that's got to be so weird for the Virginia fans.
The Southern Virginia crowd. Maybe Bronco went out there because he thought that Raider and Bricker, I don't know their names anymore. And
Renegade
and Rebellion. Maybe he thought that they weren't going to get into BYU Idaho or BYU.
And Southern Virginia was
yeah. All right.
That's a hot take right there.
That's a hot take.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I told my dad, hey, Bronco's going to Virginia, he goes, my dad says, let me guess, he has a problem with the addendum to handbook number one. He's leaving. So listen, a couple weeks now on Bronco Mendenhall gone, assistant coaches that are going with Bronco Mendenhall. If you're not up to date, Robert and I, who else?
Howell,
Nick Howell,
Papinga, John Beck, his twin brother, Jason Beck,
quarterback's coach.
And let me think, Mark Artuaya, that's the one that hurts me the most.
Garrett 2J.
Yep. And not 100% confirmed, but all but confirmed, pretty dang sure that also Wintrick, the strength and conditioning coach. Yeah. So, I mean, he's taken a haul, you know, like... He's taking his ball, taking his friends, and going to Virginia.
He's going to Charlottesville. He was charmed by the campus built by Thomas Jefferson. It's for lovers out there. Virginia's for lovers, and nothing says lovers quite like Bronco Mendenhall.
I will add, though, I'm fine with Bronco leaving. Totally. It doesn't bother me at all. I think it's better for him. I think it's better for us as a program. So I wish him luck with a smile on my face, and I'm excited at the spark that a new era in BYU football might bring.
But before we go fully in on the new era, Tosh, what are your how will you remember the Bronco Mendenhall era?
Great defenses. The best defenses in BYU history were during the Bronco Mendenhall era. I mean, Lavelle had a couple good ones, but from a 5-year mark, I don't think we ever saw better than the Ziggy, Kyle Van Noy, 5-year kind of era.
Sorensen.
Oh, yeah. We can name long. I mean,
Hadley.
Yeah, there's some.
Manu Mariona.
There's some guys. Even, yeah. That is the best thing. That's the first thing I would think. The second, though, is that it's the time that Utah kind of became big brother in the rivalry. Mm. And that was on his watch from a recruiting standpoint, from a win-loss standpoint.
Yep. He's also a guy who I remember the arc is there's so much excitement. Everybody loved him so much. And then it just wore off as time went on. And I've tried to understand that. I've written about it. I don't understand fully why that happened, but it certainly did. One of the things that I will remember the Bronco era by is that he was awesome when there was no expectations of him, and he was bad when there was expectations of him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean...
Everyone thinks you're going to lose to Texas. Everyone beats Texas. Everyone thinks you're going to lose to Oklahoma. Well, you beat Oklahoma, right?
Yeah.
Now it's like, hey, we could really, really, really use this win against Wisconsin this week. And it's not happening. we could really, really beat, we need to beat Utah. That's not happening, right? So, it's an interesting guy. The other one is I think I'll always, like, if there's one player that I'll tie to Bronco more than anyone else, it's
Riley Nelson. Riley Nelson. Yeah.
And maybe that is the perfect analogy for Bronco Mendenhall. You remember how excited all of us were about Riley Nelson?
Oh, yeah. We were chanting his name at the stadium.
And so by the end of it all, we were ready for Riley Nelson to move on. No ill will towards Riley, but it was time to get somebody else and move forward. And hopefully things will get better. And I think that has always been the thing. Now, Tosh, you've always said about Bronco that you felt that he was Steve Cleveland.
Yes.
And that the next guy would probably be Dave Rose.
That's my hope. Yeah, I think for sure what I will say about Bronco is that he left the program in a much better place than when he picked it up.
Yes.
From really any way you slice it. And so except against Utah. But I think that he brought us to a level that I'm hoping now that we can get a better recruiter in there. Someone maybe with a little bit more people skills, a la Dave Rose. I really think that analogy could hold where we could have this new coach come in and take us to the next level of BYU football.
And so, with that in mind, because BYU has such a narrow search for who they can hire, we've known sort of the steps that have gone along in trying to hire a new head coach. For all intents and purposes, we offered the job to Ken Niumatalolo, the coach at Navy.
Reportedly, I have my doubts. Everyone, which I'm the outlier there. I think everybody is all in that he was fully offered the job. I think it might have just been part of the process.
He was up.
All right.
You don't have to believe it, but I'm almost 100% on that one.
I'm still skeptical if he was really offered the job, but. All the way, it looked out hard, no doubt. He was the front runner from what it looked like for a while.
But speaking of skepticism, though, that's Ken Niumatalolo. He wasn't really ever sold on coming to BYU. He took the interview, he was interested. But I don't think he was all that interested, and there's several reasons why, right? So do you think that, okay, so imagine you spent years being successful, having one of the top 20 S&P plus offenses in America for 5+ years doing triple option, becoming one of the best minds at running a triple option formation offensively, and then getting interviewed in a new place and they're like, yeah, as some have suggested, yeah, you can come here and you can run the triple option, but you should know that all the fans here are going to hate it. They don't want you to do it. People don't want you to do the triple option. I know it's one of the best offenses, generally speaking, every year, Navy. But, and we know that you're probably the most qualified person to run such an offense in the country. But you know what? You might not want to do that if you're a BYU.
Yeah.
That would bother me. Would that bother you?
For sure. And
why
I think
you bring him here and not have him.
And I think it might have been even a level above that. I think instead of them telling him that the fans might be mad about it, they might have told him,
we don't want
the triple option.
Why do you want Ken Niumatalolo?
That's part of maybe what happened and why I'm saying it might not have been a real offer even.
The next step in this is that he potentially, Matt Brown wrote about this on VanquishTheFoe.com, that we think that one of the problems that he would have had is in order to bring his assistant coaching staff and bring in guys that work and know his system that he trusts, he wouldn't have had enough money to bring them to BYU as assistants.
Yeah.
And so money was an issue, not necessarily for himself, but for the ability to hire assistant coaches to effectively run his systems. So money was an issue with Ken Niumatalolo, we think.
Well, reportedly, there was a $3 million buyout on his contract, too. And in comparison, Broncos, I don't remember the exact number, but it was like between $1 and $2 million was his buyout.
Well, he was in his last year.
Yeah. But still, I heard it was like $1.25, if I'm remembering right, still, though, was the buyout. Kyle Whittingham's buyout, in comparison, $200,000 if he came here. Kyle Whittingham's deal is like a fake deal he has with Utah right now. Like, yeah. Either party could end it cheaply.
We know that he doesn't like Chris Hill.
But I think that, again, that was part of... I there's several scenarios of why things didn't work out with Ken M. The other one is...
Well, can I, the last one is, and I don't think anyone else has been out there with this, and so I just wanted to bring this up.
Okay.
Being the head coach at BYU, BYU has a football team for two stated reasons. One, for the development and help for the young men who come into the football program, and them, et cetera, right? Also, for positive exposure for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The most foremost person in all of BYU athletics for that positive exposure for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the head coach of the football team. With that position comes an extra pressure on yourself spiritually, in your private life, and all that stuff. But it also comes on the positive side, a unique opportunity to serve that you just probably, it's one of a kind. You can't serve in that capacity, have a positive impact on a lot of people like you can if you're a BYU football head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Niumatalolo was in Meet the Mormons.
Correct, I remember.
As a positive ambassador for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, he had a mini dosage of what it would be like to be somebody who serves as an ambassador for exposure for the church.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, this is just me guessing, okay? But listen, there's a lot of people out there who don't want to work for the church. They don't want to work at BYU, they don't want to work for the CS.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something we have to do.
I think that's a theory. Yeah, I think his words would go against that, though, when he was saying, you know, my mind, what my heart tells me, I should go, you know, check out. So, but maybe, I think that's a possibility. It's a lot of life, even... Yeah.
Does that make sense?
And I think it's why a lot of players choose to go to other schools besides BYU. You know, same could be said on Coach. And he's never been a BYU guy.
Yep. He went to Hawaii.
So here's...
So that's it for Coach Ken. Rest in peace on the Coach Ken.
I'm going to go out there real quick. And let's change just another gear to him. This is my top five picks from the beginning Were number one choice. Nope. Oh. Kyle Whittingham was my number one. Which I know is somewhat polarizing, but I'm all in on that he's my number one.
Did you, like, cap yourself?
Yeah, so Andy Reid is not an option. And, yeah, Andy Reid's my only one that is that I just ruled out.
Okay.
So my number two, Kalani Sitake. My number three, Daryl Bevel.
Okay.
My number four, Lance Anderson. And him and Daryl Bevel are really, like, tied for three. And then my number five was Ken. So I would have been, he made the list of my top five, but I'm really, I was not that sad. I think it was in his best interest, and I feel in the program's best interest for when he said that he's kind of ruling out coming here, because I really liked those four other guys better.
Well, but we know Daryl Bevel's out.
Yes.
Because.
We don't know anything, but he says he's out.
Pete Carroll said it's not.
But coaches lie all the time. But I think signs point to he's out.
Pete Carroll never lies.
Oh, yeah. He lies.
So, for me, my number one guy, I think it's Lance Anderson, just because I'm a big believer, huge believer.
I want to correct. You don't think it's going to be Lance Anderson, but that was your number one, was correct. Lance Anderson.
So, the guy I'd like to see get hired is Lance Anderson. He's done amazing, amazing work at Stanford. I wrote a case on VanquishTheFoe.com defending Lance Anderson, why he should be hired. At the time I wrote it, BYU had yet to have any contact with him. They've had one meeting with him now, and that's it. So I don't think they're that interested, or they're not really approaching Lance Anderson, but he's the best recruiter of the guys that are potential candidates. I mean, the guy was named the Recruiter of the Year by Scout.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he is dominated the state of Utah in recruiting most recently, and took Stanford in 9 years, has taken Stanford from the 60s right? Their national rank in recruiting in the 60s, and now they are constantly in the top 15 in the country. And so, and that's still at Stanford, where there's restrictions about who they can take. And
yeah.
And beyond that, he's also what they call the admissions liaison. So he works very significantly with the most stringent FBS admissions office and finds a way to work it out and to help kids be able to get in and to survive life at Stanford. And he's done that and increased the profile of recruiting and all that stuff, and he still graduates 100% of the kids that he brings to Stanford.
Yeah.
He's a good guy, and he's an active LDS guy.
No, I think Lance Anderson is a very dang good prospect.
So I'm a little confused why they've only taken one meeting with him, but as it's been reported.
Yeah, but I would say BYU, though, is pretty secretive. There's a chance maybe they vetted that option more, but...
Sure. And then there may be other things that we don't understand here. But, in fact, I'm certain of that. but then it seems that all roads point to...
Kalani Sitake. That's where all signs point now that he's the front runner. Right? Yeah.
I mean, unless something... I mean, this thing has been a roller coaster, but... Right, we feel like we're at the end of this thing.
I think if I was, I would go, it's 80% him at this point, but I think it's 10% Witt and then 10% one of the other guys.
Okay.
But let's talk Kalani for now. Things why he ranked my number two as high as he did, that I love that he went to BYU. You brought up earlier, we've never hired an alum before, but I still think, let's try it. You know, maybe I think there's some
reason why other schools like having alumni.
And I think the biggest thing is recruiting. If I was to say one problem with the Bronco era, it would be recruiting, and that we have fallen off there.
You know whether you want to be here or not.
Yeah.
You know what we are, and you should know that you want to be here when you're 15.
His recruit yourself to BYU policy has still got some guys that really are all in, but we have lost out on guys that need to be convinced, which I'm all about. We need to convince good guys.
Well, great. It needs to be more than I want BYU. I want to know that BYU wants me.
Exactly. That's where it comes down to. We've lost guys that high schoolers, everybody wants to feel wanted. And we have not. We need to do a better job of helping players feel wanted. Kalani will do that. Great recruiter. He will instantly help our Polynesian recruiting game, which will be huge. That's the number one thing I'm excited about. I also think that the energy, the fire, the passion, we need that. We need a little bit of an offset on the dryness we've had. And as long as with all of these guys, as long as he hires some good coordinators, that I think that it's very possible 10 years from now, we look back and say, man, that was a rock star hire right there. And I think Kalani has that potential, as a couple of the other guys did. But he is unknown. It's not without some cons. What things worry you?
I'm worried about Kalani Sitake for the following reason, and this is just the main reason. I think he's a good man, and I think that you're right. All the things that you said, right. I think he understands defense. Right, I worry that he's only been really effective as a coach when he's had Whittingham over his shoulder.
Okay, that's a valid point.
And I don't know how he'll do without that.
We
know little because they went to Oregon State and they went 3-9. So,
but he had terrible players there, is what I would say.
I don't agree with that. Mike Riley didn't do terrible when he was there.
Correct.
They didn't do 3-9 terrible.
That's true. But Mike Riley left oddly. Like, the whole thing was weird. I went to the Oregon State Weber State game this year.
Oh, that was a barn burner.
Oh, yeah. The thing that I felt like Weber State's athletes were like almost on the same level as I've been to a lot of FBS versus FCS. That was the closest in athletes that I have ever seen between a matchup there. And so that's what makes me say I really. But,
is there an outside chance the Weber State guy, Jay Hill?
Yeah, but it's pretty dang outside.
Okay. Just want to throw that out there.
He was... So I told you guys my top five. You guys don't know how crazy... I had like a 25 list. And I had it broken down in like who I'd be happy. No, Steve Young didn't make. He didn't make my 25 list.
Not that Steve Young, like, again.
If he said tomorrow he's interested, he would make the 25 list, but he wouldn't be in the top 10.
Yeah,
like,
people talk about pay cuts, and, oh, well, then this guy's got to be willing. And he reads out because he's knowing he's going to cut off.
And a whole lifestyle change. Like, and
Steve Young's venture capitalist right now, and yeah, he's making so much money.
Yeah.
He's making so much money. And so he's not going away from that.
No.
Anyway. So back to it. So you made top 25. Jay Hill's in it?
Jay Hill is on it, but he's. I think Jay Hill's going to be a big-time coach someday, but I think that's 8 years away. I think he's going to be a D coordinator at a D1 school first and then take that step.
So Kalani Sitake, though, that's my only worry is that, you know, unproven, but you know what? That's BYU's history. We've always had to take unproven guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the nature of the school and the conditions of the school and the fact that we have to really kind of reach for certain individuals. But we feel pretty strongly, right? Kalani Sitake is probably going to be the guy.
Yes. Until they announce it, you never know with old BYU. But I feel strongly, yes. What I will say that should give hope to all of us as fans, we have the best options coaching search-wise this time than we've ever had. And I don't know if that means one of two things. Whether our program is better than it's been, or whether I think what it really is that there's more LDS guys flourishing in the coaching world, which is still only a good sign for us with future coaching going forward. So we had better prospects to choose from this year than we've ever had.
Still rolling down that hill, Tosh.
What's that hill?
The work is progressing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No unhallowed hand. That things are going great.
So I agree with you. I think it's just a bigger base of people to pick from. More legacy too, right? I mean, we've got a lot more people who played, who went to play college football, have joined the ranks there, and so it's just inevitable. The base gets bigger.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I know you want to talk about it. What are the odds the Las Vegas Bowl ends? Bronco Mendenhall walks to midfield. He greets Kyle Whittingham and says, "It's been fun competing for 11 years, or whatever."
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what would be like the most Bronco, like, you know, the execution of your team tonight was impressive.
Your position mastery as a coach over these last 11 years has been
a challenge.
Very well executed.
I've liked measuring my program against your program. But then he takes off his BYU hat. He takes off Whittingham's. He puts the BYU hat on Whittingham. They turn to the cameras. Bronco grabs Whittingham by the wrist and raises his hand into the air. As a sign that is the new BYU head coach.
I've thought of this same scenario, but I'm taking a more WWE take to it
that
than even.
That's pretty WWE.
I would love if, so BYU wins, and then during the ceremony, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, Whittingham just walks onto the stage and just rips off his shirt, Hulk Hogan style, and he's got a BYU shirt underneath, and then the music plays, da-na-da-na-da-dun, and it's just, can you imagine a more crazy scenario in the world? You talk about exposure. If we want exposure, maybe that's why we've been waiting. They've been planning this pinnacle moment.
Maybe Whit just pulls off his shirt like you mentioned. Hulk Hogan's kind of a jerk, right? But he pulls the shirt off.
Yeah.
He pulls the shirt off, and he's got a Y painted on his chest.
That would be great.
All right. So it'll be interesting to see. You believe that is still alive?
I think that there's a small, it's got a sliver of hope, and I think it's got more than people realize. Here's what.
Do you think he's number two right now?
Yes.
If you're handicapping him?
Yep.
You don't think Lance Anderson?
No, I think Witt is more probable right now than Lance Anderson.
Well, you know, Witt and Tom Holmoe are dogs, right?
Yep, played on the same team together, have remained friends.
I believe they were college roommates.
And that Witt hates his current boss.
And his buyout is $200,000.
Which is weird. It's incredibly low.
So tenuous there.
And with all the pressure from the media, with the unrest of fans, with his players, one of the biggest things to weird to me is that it would help the Utah program if Whittingham this week would have said, like Bevel did, I am not going there. Yeah. Like, we can just put this to bed. Yeah. I am not going there.
Yeah.
But he hasn't. There's some talks there. Whether that happens or not, I will go down to my grave saying there was talks there.
Okay. Oh, I'm sure there's been talks. It would seem irresponsible to not at least have a conversation.
Yeah.
In the same way that I think there's at least been a conversation with, say, Andy Reid. I don't know if it was ever serious.
He probably reached out.
But I think the conversation happened at some point.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is the Whittingham thing is fascinating and it would be really something, wouldn't it? That would be interesting.
Yeah. No, that's my number one pick because
it's your dream scenario.
Here's some positives with Kalani Witt.
He comes out and to go more WWE now. He's showing himself and he's just like, you know what I'm sick and tired of? Having guys like Travis Wilson as my coach. I know at least I'm going to have Tanner Mangum for a few years.
Oh yeah. We've had better quarterbacks. Here on a serious note, real serious here, is that one thing that would help BYU tremendously is if University of Utah no longer had an LDS coach or no longer had somebody that could talk the LDS recruiting talk to guys going on missions. That's what Whittingham would help us tremendously. But even on a second note there, if we get Kalani, I kind of hope.
Ironic though, because they hate us because of the whole LDS thing, but the fact that they have so many LDS guys.
Oh yeah. It helps them tremendously. And I think if Whittingham leaves, Chris Hill's track record with the basketball program and his other hires have been non-LDS hires. And I don't think that would necessarily hurt Utah if they maybe looked to branch out to recruit outside of Utah more.
Yeah, when they got Urban Meyer.
But it would for sure help BYU to keep the top LDS, get a higher percentage of those guys coming here. Yeah. So that's part of why, whether it's...
Oh, let's hope. Come on.
Yes.
That would be great.
Let's build this train.
If Hill, Hill, what if he hires like the Ray Giacoletti or Jim Boylan version of the football coach?
It could, because Chris Hill is being a complete idiot by not respecting and valuing Kyle Whittingham.
Or respecting and valuing the letters from the swimming team's parents.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Chris Hill, there's a lot of signs of that guy making some questionable decisions. So if Witt leaves, I like our odds that helps our program a ton and hurts Utah a ton.
Is a time bomb. Like, compared to like what you get with Tom Holmo.
Yeah.
Like, that guy's a time bomb. Like, he's just like, everything's going wrong for me in the media. All right, I'm going to release it. I signed it. I signed the papers. Dang it. We're playing BYU two more games.
Yeah.
Like,
or he comes out and says,
just doesn't know.
He comes out publicly and said what they honored Kalani, like price-wise, to try to be like, hey, we offered him this amount.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But what's his saving grace is he was there at the helm, though, when they became a Pac-12 school.
It doesn't matter who was at the helm.
But that's what's keeping him.
They were looking at the U.
But that's what's keeping him in his position.
They didn't get in the Pac-12 because of Chris Hill.
Hey, I want Chris Hill to stay there as long as possible because I think he will make the wrong coaching hire. So let's push that now and get Witt now.
Okay. All right. Come on. Like, there's no big jobs out there, though, right now.
Yeah. No, I mean.
Why did USC have to hire Clay Helton?
It's true.
Anyway. Boy, I am so excited.
Bronco Mendenhall is let's go one more note here. Bronco Mendenhall is making $3.25 million. Kyle Whittingham's making like 2.4 or 2.5.
Yeah.
That's got to rub Kyle the wrong way.
Yeah. Well, I think Bronco, that's part. So
Bronco is a highly paid coach now.
Yes, he is. Yep. And I hope those Virginia fans are super excited to go 8-5 yearly.
I think that's one reason he had to take that. He got a huge pay raise. I think they will be happy to go 8-5.
At the beginning.
Yeah. Well, they've never been good. I think they're going to love him. I think that was a match made in heaven.
Come on.
It's been a long time since the Yahoos.
I would say, so, yeah. Well, it'll be interesting. I think with Bronco, the last thing on Bronco, and then this is how we'll finish out the show, right? Welcome Kalani Sitake, and if you're not hired, welcome to the next coach. But how much do you think when Bronco, we know that he applied for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
We know he was out there for the Wisconsin.
At least last year.
We know he was out there for the.
There was some interest with the org. Exactly. Yep.
When they passed on an alumni to bring in Gary Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you think that ate at Bronco?
I probably bugged him big time, and that's his alma mater.
Like, the Mendenhalls, if anything, we've talked about the Mendenhalls as a family and stuff, right? Like, their reputation is, they're wild, right? They're just like, you can never predict them. They're, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like his brothers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, how much, when that happened, he's like, man, I'm stuck. Like, I try to go to these other places. You know, they took a guy with a losing record from Pitt to become the new coach at Wisconsin. They took Gary Anderson over me in Oregon State. I went to Oregon State. Like, I love Corvallis.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm stuck. I'm going to be here forever. I had mentioned to you earlier this season, we were watching a game together. I said, you know, we haven't signed him to an extension.
Meaning Bronco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the latest in his contract that it's ever been without him signing an extension. Something weird's going on, Tosh. You remember this?
Oh, yeah.
How much was it that Bronco, first of all, the money's nice and a new challenge is always nice and stuff, but how much of this is just in respect to the guy from Utah State went to other places and now he's beating me out for jobs, even though I have a better track record, I've done better, right? I think he was motivated particularly by observing some of the other things that were going around him. And I felt like maybe he was feeling a bit trapped at BYU.
I think that could be part of it. I think that Bronco was probably, I think he will be looked back, especially if he wins this game. If he win this game this weekend is huge for him. If he wins this game, I think he'll look back and as being he was underappreciated, and I think there's some truth there.
Speaking of underappreciated, Robert and I talked about that when the new head coach option came out. He was like, "I was underwhelmed." I think the quote was
underwhelmed. Yeah.
By the interest that was shown.
But if he didn't see that coming, then that guy needs to be more self-aware.
Yeah. What is the purpose of your being underwhelmed?
Yeah. But all in all,
anyway, back to Bronco though. You were saying something about Bronco.
I just think that Bronco. My closing speech on Bronco. I think we undervalued him. I think we were maybe too harsh on him, and I put myself in that. In that same tone, though, I am excited about a new guy coming in, adding a spark in the recruiting world, getting just maybe a more fan.
Maybe not
friendly.
Maybe not hating the boosters.
Yeah, someone that when I go to a Cougar Club meeting, I feel like it does not hate my guts. that it should be a fun new era in Cougar football.
And with that, we leave it to you. Follow us on Twitter, at CougarCast, at Lehigh Roller. Give us a rating on iTunes. We appreciate that. Share it with your friends. And read me on VanquishTheFoe.com. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!